Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going today?
It's a hot, summer.
Oh, yeah.
It's hot.
You're jealous of the people up north, huh? Is that what you were going to say?
How'd you know? Yeah, we call them Yankees. But yeah, people up north, yeah, it's cooler up there. It's hot, you know, but still the greatest state in the union, but it's hot. And
I assume
it's still snowing in some places, you know? Like, you know, you see snow, like, you know, pictures of people like enjoying a jog and there's snow on the ground. I'm like, how is there still, it's June, you know? I figure there's places somewhere like
that. New York City is way north of you, and it's 84 degrees in New York City.
Okay. And so it's hot everywhere.
Well, one of the reasons you see snow sometimes is because there's mountains in other parts of the country, and the mountains are higher off the ground, so it's colder the higher you go up in the air. That's what it is. So we had a little audio malfunction and when we started a second ago, and you were talking about the weather, and you said something to the effect of, it's weird how that works. And so last week on Patreon, we were talking about private school, public school, and we were talking about pronouncing city names, knowing all 50 states. Apparently that impresses you.
Okay.
At any point in someone's life, Cynthia got a big kick out of that one. So let me ask you, you said it's weird how that happens with the weather. Why do we get summer and it gets hotter? Do you know?
Well, I know that the earth is on an axis. So when you turn all the way around, the direction of that axis, sometimes we're in direct light with the sun, direct line with the sun. It's right over the head. It's very hot. And in the winter, it's at a very obscure, obtuse angle, I would say. I don't know if that's the right term, but it's a larger angle. So we get indirect light from the sun. So it's cold. That's why Australia is opposite.
So I think that might explain why the equator is always hot, because the equator on its axis, no matter where the rotation is around the sun, is closest to the sun. But I think it's more about the axis, and this is sometimes we're close to the sun, the northern hemisphere, and sometimes the southern hemisphere is closer.
Farther. Yeah.
That's why I think it's winter in Australia when it's summer here.
I did graduate from college with a, believe it or not, a biology degree. So I know quite a bit about science. It's just, you know, other things like
geography,
Celsius and geography and history and city names, how you say Louisville, Louisville, you know, I didn't need to know that. It's not important.
So Chris, we're going to be talking about visual today, making the perfect website for pay-per-click performance. Big factor of that is what people see on the website. And we're going to get into all of that. But first, why don't you tell us about today's sponsor?
Yes, I'm going to tell you guys about Optio. Optio.com/PSP2. Guys, this is the Google Ads tool that we recommend to get things done faster in Google Ads. You are managing Google Ads. You're setting up new campaigns. You're managing campaigns that you've been working on for a while. This is a tool that helps you do those things faster. Let me tell you about one of the recent additions that they've had. They're always adding new features to this great tool. And one of the things that they can do is they offer the ability for you to add location names as negative keywords. So you're going through your search term report, and if you're advertising in Las Vegas and it notices that somebody searched for Dallas and that's not where you're targeting, this tool will then trigger and decide, hey, I'm going to pop up a suggestion. The next time George logs in, he's going to see a suggestion that, hey, Dallas came through. You're targeting Las Vegas. Should we add this as a negative keyword? Dallas is a negative keyword. And you just click it, done. That's how easy it is. So this is a new feature, really easy, lots of stuff like that. I could go on and on about little features like this that it does, saves you time. Opteo.com/PSP2. Use that URL because you get an extended trial. You get an extended trial to try it for free. Use the chat box down at the bottom right corner. Tell them you are a listener of the Pay Search Podcast, and they'll give you an extra bonus time with your free trial. We thank Opteo, OPTEO.com/PSP2 for their sponsorship.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Kyle Solarud and EliteLocalAds.com. If you're running Google Ads for a local business or for many local businesses, then I want to encourage you to check out EliteLocalAds.com. Elite Local Ads is a comprehensive training program put together by Kyle Solarud, designed to help you get more customers for any local business using Google Ads. The program includes 8 complete training modules covering everything from keywords, ads, advanced campaign optimization, retargeting, and more. It's not an inexpensive program, but the value is off the charts, and there's even a 30-day refund policy if you're at all worried about the investment. Kyle says with over 150 students, he's only ever had one person request a refund. You can see more for yourself at EliteLocalAds.com, including several testimonials from people who have been through the program already. Again, that's for anybody who is running Google Ads for local businesses. Chris and I both run ads. Some of our clients are local businesses. And one thing that we have found that's interesting when you talk to someone else who's in the business, it is definitely an eye-opener to see the way other people run local campaigns. And we recommend you check out EliteLocalAds.com for that training program on how to run local Google ad campaigns. EliteLocalAds.com. So Chris, today we are continuing our series on how to make the perfect website for pay-per-click. It's a checklist. It's something that we recommend advertisers go through and use this to come up with a perfect website for pay-per-click. I would say if it's a perfect website for pay-per-click, everything we're talking about will work great in general for overall website experience. It's been very interesting to see the feedback. We had someone in our Patreon group on Facebook say, finally, someone is saying, what is the deal with this fill out a form and get stay on the same page, and how is that better for user experience? I've heard that my whole career, but obviously the thank you page is easier to track, and there's nothing wrong with that experience. So people are, we're kind of saying things that people have been thinking for a long time that not a lot of people say. One thing I did think, Chris, that whole fill out the lead form, stay on the same page, you know why that's better for user experience? Because the website designers get back to their trash TV shows and Cheeto fingers faster because they don't have to make another page.
It's easier.
That's you don't true. Have to make
it's
a page.
Built in, yeah, it's built in with the plugin. The plugins come with an automatic JavaScript kind of pop-up thing, and they're like, they plug
incentives,
it in.
Incentives, Chris. So. Incentives, Chris. Yep. They're thinking, all right, I'm already getting paid 10 times what I should be getting paid for this website work.
Oh boy.
Do I want to do this one extra step that would take 5 minutes to set up a thank you page and then test it? No, I don't want to do that. I want to get back to my streaming. I just want to lay back, eat my Cheetos, stream, and charge 10 times what I should. So, Chris, today we're talking about visuals.
Yeah.
And it can go very right or it can go very wrong. Why don't you just give people an overview of what do we mean by visual? Are we talking about paragraphs of text? Are we talking about layouts? What are we talking about today? And then we'll kind of break it down item by item.
Yeah. So I think the reason this is even a topic is because first you have to come to the realization that people do not read as much as you think they do. Very important in the way that you represent your messaging, not just with text, which, you know, we're going to get into that, but we're going to talk about the visual representation as in images, colors, buttons, other features that you have, and what's the visual appeal of it. And a lot of times, you know, I often hear people say, I'm getting people that call me that think I do this, but I don't do that. I do this other thing. And I think as much as I hear that, Jason, I know you hear it too, you have to know that people are not reading. And the message is, if they're not reading and people go to so much trouble as to call a phone number and talk to the wrong person about the wrong thing, you know that there's a million other people that are reading it wrong. And maybe that is what they want. And the imagery is so wrong, or the messaging is so wrong. The pictures are off-putting, or, you know, there's something else about the imagery that that puts them off and they don't contact, you know, so, you know, the opposite effect is happening. So very important. And listen, just like you mentioned, Jason, we're going to make some statements and opinions about what we see that works and what we like. You know, you can go out there and find white papers and big tests and all kinds of things that are going to show specific numbers. And, you know, statistics and all that stuff is great. But in reality, when it comes down to it, it's real world experience that we're basing this on. You know, like what really works? When I see something on a page and I'm like, ah, oh, you know, I really hate that because it just doesn't really work very well just out of experience. That's what we're basing it on. It's something that we have seen ourselves. So, Jason, I don't know if you want to just jump to the first topic or if you have anything to add on to that.
I guess the only thing I would add is that visual is the strongest form of persuasion, and so very much gets talked about content on the page, quality score, having this city word on the page, having that city word, having this service word. And yeah, quality score matters, all that kind of stuff. Again, anybody out there, anytime you want to show me an account with non-brand keywords that's just layered with nines and tens, we're here. You can rent our show. You can have the show.
Send a screenshot.
You can have episode 200, that's whatever. True. You show us that it's real. We'll let you get on here, say whatever you want. Like, I don't think it's out there. But
no.
So, but it does matter, but it only matters to an extent because, I mean, 6.5, 6.7s, like, I'd say that's the majority of what I see. Again, anyone sitting out there with nines and tens and non-brand, let me know. But visual, it's like, does quality score pick up the visual, how well a picture is, how well done a video is?
No.
It may, in the sense of like not going back, they don't see a lot of clickbacks to Google. So maybe they think, oh, the site is real relevant. Maybe they measure it that way. I don't know. All I'm saying is all the focus on text on the page and all that kind of stuff. If you put the time and investment into finding a great local videographer, a great local photographer to help your business and get great visual assets on your site, it will really help the performance of the PPC campaign, because someone does a search, they click on an ad, they go to a page. Yeah, you can have the page be about that topic text-wise, but anybody can do that. And to separate yourself, it would be great to show off your business visually. So my first checklist point here, Chris, is that my biggest piece of advice for Google Ads advertisers and just businesses in general, real pictures of real people and real assets. So what I mean by that, if you're a moving company, show your movers, show your whole staff in uniforms lined up with a truck, show your offices, show your truck, show your company doing volunteer work, show your movers on a move. People love proof. They love seeing real pictures of real people and assets. And a lot of people think about it this way. If you don't have pictures of staff on your website, if you don't have pictures of moving company trucks, real assets on your websites in office, well, then people are going to think you're not a real business. And the trustworthy level is going to go down. That means the conversion is going to go down. The amount of people that want to call, want to do business with you, want to fill out your form, it's all going to go down. So this is my biggest piece of advice. Visual is the strongest form of persuasion. You can show people you're a real business to work with. Chris, I feel so strongly about this. I get someone that wants to work with me, and I go to their website, and I see stock images and not real pictures of real people, not pictures of real assets. I don't work with them. I will not advertise for them. If you put templates,
that's a strong.
No, it's not. Why would I waste my time with a campaign that's going nowhere, and someone's going to quit advertising in 8 weeks because, oh, it's not working? Really, you fool? It's not working. Why do you think it's not working? Is it because
we're going to talk about
perfect search terms? Is it because we're bidding the wrong amount? No, we're bidding perfect amounts. It's because your website sucks and people don't think you're a real business. And I'm doing everything I can do on the Google Ads side, but people don't want to call a business with stock photos, template photos, real pictures, real people. So I don't work with them because Why? Because it's not going to work. Oh, Mr. B2B, not every B2B shows their whole staff, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm talking B2C. So what do you want to say about that, Chris? What, you want these leads, right? I get with these bums with stock images? You want to take them?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Lower your guns. I am with you. I'm just going to say, on this thing, Jason and I both put our money where our mouth is on this. If you pull up chrisschafer.com or rothmanppc.com, you see the first image, really the only image you see on both of them, are our faces, like us talking to the camera, talking to you. So it's real. I mean, I don't have stock images. Jason doesn't have stock images. I don't have these happy families or this, you know, guy with a piece, you know, with a cup of coffee and a coffee cake, you know, typing on his laptop, you know, with a, you know, like, oh, he's thinking about something. Oh, he's doing Google Ads management, you know, that.
Or a picture of a 35-year-old with a nose ring and a haircut he pays way too much for, sitting in an open brick office,
right,
on a computer. Like, this is the digital marketing agency.
Or three people. And my favorite is always, like, three people in front of a computer all talking together. Like, one of them's pointing. One of them has a notepad, like, writing out, oh, what you do? And this other person's, you know, like, got a calculator or something. It's like, who stands in front of the same computer and points at things and talks about stuff? And we have collaboration tools now. You know, nobody does that. And nowadays, 2020, people aren't even in the same office together anymore.
Right.
Because that's not
so helpful. Now you've got people saying, okay, well, obviously I don't use stock images. Okay, I have a real business. It has a picture of our company on there. Well, I would go further and say, if you're at the point where you have a picture of your company and you think that's going to get the job done, I showed you a website the other week, Chris, a client of mine that's just knocking it out of the park.
Beautiful. Those people...
You can just tell the amount of visual that they had on their website, the work they've done, the office, the company. They put so much into their website before they started running Google Ads. We started running Google Ads. It just worked. It just worked instantly because we had good Google Ads management on our side, good search terms, good bids. Then on their side, the website's just like magic because they put so much into it. So I'm not saying don't advertise until you have a 10 out of 10 website. But I'm saying, if you have a 3 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10, because you have not stock images, but you have like one or two images of real people and real company assets, yeah, maybe start advertising, but also take some of that overall marketing budget and invest in your website, because it's gonna pay off big time once you start growing your Google Ads campaign. And here's what I hate, Chris. I hate being in the spot. I absolutely hate this. You're doing everything you can do on Google Ads. You know you're doing everything you can do. The perfect search terms, the perfect bids, everything's dialed in. And the conversion rate just sucks. And you know deep down, it's because the website is just serviceable but not great. And the only thing from that point to get your conversion rate up you can do is make it a 10 out of 10 website. So I really do think the whole idea of Google Ads and advertising, it should be thought of as one package with making a great website and having that ability as a business owner to do them both at the same time, instead of just, oh, I'm gonna, just because I'm spending money, I deserve leads. You know, it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next thing, again, I mean, I already alluded to it. Jason and I are both very serious about it. So much so that we've put the entirety of the majority of our messaging into it, videos, and the message that you can convey through a video. And I'll tell you, I mean, nowadays when everyone has a super powerful professional level camera in their pocket, like, what's keeping you from just stepping outside or walking into an office with a nice wall behind you, something like that, and just quickly doing a greeting or filming you with your equipment or the, you know, equipment being built or you, you know, providing the service at the home or, you know, something, the finished product, anything, you know, quick little thing like, hey, I'm just taking a selfie. I, you know, we're blah, blah, blah. This is what we do. We do, you know, we think we do great work, and I think you'll like it when, you know, you purchase our product or hire our service. I mean, it, of course, a videographer and a script writer and all that kind of stuff can make it look even better, but you watch the videos on our websites, they were not script, videographer, you know, designed, produced kind of stuff. You know, it's just us being real, talking the same way we've always done the show. And I don't know if it's just me. I'll tell you how I often choose a company is I really don't like big franchised kind of things. That's like, you know, I go to a website and then I click my area, then I click on the branch that serves my area, and then I call that guy. You know, I really like for the one that the guy I'm talking to is actually the same guy that owns the company, that's done the work for 30 years. He's good at it. And it's like his son comes out and does the work, and his dad, it's originally his dad's company, you know, that kind of thing. You know, right. And you can't get that from a scripted videographer designed, produced video. It comes across very professional and commercial. Sometimes I like the shaky hand cam type of thing. You know, I like to know that, listen, these guys don't have time to go out and spend 30 grand on a fancy video. They're getting out there and working. And, you know, I kind of like to see that. So, you know, that's usually what I convey to my clients is, when it comes down to it, you don't know what's going to trigger a person's desire to contact you. You know, have some nice stuff, have some shaky hand cam type of things, and have a spectrum of it. And I think you'll likely hit the mark somewhere.
That's a great point, because like you're saying, you like the kind of, we don't have time to make a great video, we're so busy doing great work kind of thing. Well, sometimes I do like the, oh, we did overpay for a video because we care so much about our business, we want to portray that kind of thing. So I do like a professional made video. So what you can do is you can have multiple videos on your site. You can have the professional videos where someone came out, shot a bunch of video of your business doing whatever your business does, and then editing it together in a nice few minute video. And then on the about page or other pages, you can have interviews with the owner, asking him questions about the industry, the owner talking about why he started the business, that kind of stuff. But visual is the strongest form of persuasion. And just like pictures work, videos work. And
yeah,
I just think there are tremendous usage of website space to just, someone can click on an ad, go to your website, have an image in their mind of what they're looking for, and then see it, and then go, oh, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I've had moving companies I work with, they have videos on their website that show them actually doing moves. Uniform movers, professional movers, being safe with the people's stuff, being professional. It just instantly conveys that they're in the right place. What does that lead to with PPC? Super strong conversion rate. So one question would come up is, well, do I have the video autoplay when someone hits a website, or do I have to have someone play the video? I kind of have hit play. I have an opinion. What do you kind of think, Chris? Or does it even matter to you?
I absolutely do not like autoplay. You know, there's a lot of instances when I check my clients, you know, when a lot of the traffic happens, it's around that 9 a.m. time and the noon 1 o'clock time. You know, it's like, in the way I like to visualize it is, people are just getting to work, they're sitting down, and they're often doing some, you know, Monday morning, best example I see, Monday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. People sit down and they take care of that quick personal
at their
business
kitchen table before they leave the house.
Well, no, like when they're at work.
At Starbucks on the way to work on their phone? Well, they're on their personal time? No, well, wait, Jason, are you saying they get to work and then steal money from their employer?
That's exactly
by doing personal work on the employer's dime.
That's exactly.
Are you saying that happens?
I'm saying it may happen.
Are you saying people work at digital marketing agencies and spend their time listening to the number one podcast about Google Ads, improving their own skills, stealing time from their employer?
No.
Well, and they don't feel bad about it because agency owners are professional salesmen and they sold them on a better job than it actually is. And now 2 years later, they're bitter at their employer and they don't care if they steal time from him listening to the number one podcast about Google Ads and then taking time on the company's dime to go leave a review on Apple Podcasts, a 5-star rating. And just for everyone out there, why don't you go do that right now, especially if you're bitter at your professional salesman employer who sold you on it being a better job than it actually is.
Yeah. He said, we like to have fun here. I can imagine, you know, the guy, the HR lady or the guy who hired you.
We don't have HR at our agency. We're cool, man.
We have lots of fun. We have a ping pong table and look at all the Cokes in our refrigerator. Look at all the Cokes.
We're more of a family, not really an office, you know?
Family. There you go. That's the word. You don't need HR. No one's going to make you mad.
So 9 a.m., you're stealing money from your employer, but you don't care because you're bitter at them.
We could do a whole Patreon just making fun of the things that we hear. Okay, but we need to move on. Yeah, so the thing is, it was autoplay. That was the question. So I got distracted. I'm laughing about all the things that I've dealt with and heard. And the thing I see a lot is people are not in an environment when they would want to hear audio, and they might even quickly close the window because, oh, crap, nope, I don't want that to play. I don't want people to realize that I'm looking for a home inspection because I'm moving and in 20 days, I'm going to be quitting this job. You know, like, why are you looking up home inspections, George? You know, like, so there's a lot of reasons why you would not want that autoplay. Second, some people just don't even have sound turned on. You know, they don't have speakers on their computer. They have their phone muted, whatever, and they can't even hear it anyway. So in the end, absolutely not. I do not like autoplay.
Okay. Well, I'll put it this way. If I had to choose between autoplay with volume and you don't know if you're going to have volume or not, and then non-autoplay where you have to click it to play, my choice there would be you have to click it to play. From my perspective as a user experience, I hate when, you're right, we get that volume and you don't know it's coming. Because like right now I'm wearing headphones. I have it turned up all the way because in the thing we record on, it's good to turn up all the way. As soon as we're done, if something pops up on my browser and starts playing, it could be super loud and it could hurt my ear. So it's really the volume thing primarily that makes me kind of upset from a user experience perspective. And then I don't mind an autoplay video if I'm kind of looking for it. Like if I'm on a website about a certain service and then it starts playing in the background with no volume, with you have to turn up the volume yourself if you want to. I don't mind that if I'm going there to look at it. What I really hate, honestly, are ads that I'm so used to display ads. Display ads are cool. Fine. It's the price of the internet, you know, but I hate video ads when you're trying to read an article and the videos are just playing in the background. Makes it unusable for me. So I don't mind autoplay if it's something I'm looking for, and if I have control over when the volume starts. The only thing is you got to be careful about it taking away from the overall experience. So it's kind of a hard thing to drill down on. But like if I'm in a blog article, I don't want an autoplay video in the sidebar just playing the whole time as I scroll down the page following me. But maybe if I'm on a homepage and a part of the page has an autoplay video with my control over the sound, I kind of like that. So that's my kind of thoughts on that. But I don't think blasting people with volume is a good user experience. And then what does blasting people with volume, where does that play a role in quality score? Black box, we don't know. Maybe they don't even have a thing for that bad user experience. Maybe they don't think it's a bad user experience, but if they see a lot of people clicking back to Google because, oh, the sound's so loud or closing the website, not a lot of time on site, maybe that hurts quality score probably.
Okay, quick rabbit trail here. But Jason, would you agree Google Analytics is on a lot of websites, right?
Yes.
A lot of websites. Vast majority of people use Google Analytics. Yeah. Number two, that Google Analytics is owned by Google, who also does Google Ads. They have the same first name, right? So they're related. Yep. Do you think it's possible, since they have access to so much data, that Google might use bounce rate information as a, if they have that potential to use that for quality score? You think that could possibly be like time on site, bounce rate, stuff like that, as a quality score indicator to indicate, you know, user interaction? You think that's even a possibility?
I do not think that.
Don't
know. I haven't not had those thoughts.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously I think that, Chris. Like, I do think, like, yeah, if Google can judge the performance of the traffic from Google Ads on a website, I do think that they will infer that. Well, here, let me put it this way. I don't know if the bounce rate is the fairest, because a lot of people absolutely, we'll put it this way, love landing pages. I'd like to get a lot more graphic. Because the way people talk about landing pages, that's love to be in that kind of relationship, you know? So, man, they love their landing pages. So landing pages obviously could have a high bounce rate, because you fill out the form. Oh, the stupid little fill out the form, stay on the page thing is there. Why would you stay on a landing page when you have already given away your information to a company you don't know? With not a lot of content on the site, why would you stay there?
You bounce quick, right?
You bounce. So I don't know if they want to penalize that. I do think there's a big – so I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me either way. There's a lot of boxes you check when you create a Google Analytics account, like share it with tech specialists at Google, share it with other – I don't know what the options are, but there's a lot of sharing. Stuff. Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me at all, but I think – one big thing is, for sure, I would really bet on this, and I think I've even read it, the back-timed Google. So someone's looking, Google's looking at someone using a Google search engine. I mean, I'm almost completely confident about this, because if they didn't have this, how would they know what works? So they order their search results based on a lot of things that I know about that isn't pay-per-click-wise. It's more
SEO,
search engine kind of stuff, web console, that kind of search console. So they figure out what to rank, what's relevant. But then how do they judge the performance from there? Well, if you do a search for Google Ads agency, and then you click on the second listing there, and it's actually for a web design firm that doesn't have any Google Ads stuff on their site, and just randomly they start showing up there, you're going to get a lot of clickbacks to Google searches very quickly, because someone's going to go, huh, web design? No, I was searching for Google Ads. I'm going back to Google. I'm going to continue my search. So I think the amount of time they see a browser click on a Google listing, organic, then come back, and it could be ads too, I think it is, and then come back to Google and continue doing their search, I think that's a sign of weakness, because you didn't give the person what you want. Now, some people would say, well, that's not fair, because I'm advertising and we all know that people shop around and they're going to click on my ad. They're going to contact my business. They're going to go back to Google. They're going to click on another ad, an organic listing too, contact them and get quotes from multiple people. Well, yeah, they are. And that's probably baked into the algorithms what a normal time back to Google searches looks like. It could depend on the industry. You know, there's so much data they have, but I definitely think they're looking at the performance in terms of how long it takes to get back to Google compared to that industry overall. And then maybe they also look at some analytics data. I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me though.
That is, I've never considered that. Yeah. Time back to
Google. But here's the thing, Chris, so many people get caught up on this stuff. No, you don't have to get caught up on it. It all goes back to giving people a good user experience, giving them what they search for in Google. And if you do that, you're going to have a really good time back to Google. It's going to be slow because you gave them what they want. You're going to have a good time on site because you gave them what they want, that kind of thing.
Right. All right. One last thing. I don't want to steal your fire on this one, because I think this is a great point and you had it in your notes. So Jason, I just spent money. I just spent time on a video. Is it just going to be for my site, or is there anything else I can do with that video?
Remarketing. When you make a responsive display ad, you don't even have to make a YouTube campaign. You can make a responsive display ad. In that responsive display ad, you have text, you have images. You can also find videos that are on YouTube that are your videos and tell Google, in this responsive ad, play my videos. I think they play them on YouTube as videos. I'm not 100% sure about that. Have to create a YouTube campaign, but I know they play videos, what we were just talking about, display ads with videos in them. I've seen it myself. I've seen my own remarketing ad. I'm reading an article, and then I see this guy talking and moving in a box, and it was one of my videos. And so they put it in the display ads as well.
Yeah.
And video is a good form of persuasion. So it really works for remarketing. And let me ask you this, Chris. Does remarketing work as someone who's done remarketing together now for the Paid Search Podcast? How often are we on the tip? People are engaging in what they do with their spouses. And instead of screaming out their name, they scream out, Paid Search Podcast. They scream out, Jason Ruckman. They scream out, Chris Shane.
Okay. I literally had this conversation.
We are on the tip of their tongue because they can't help themselves. Every time we get on the Facebook group, oh my God, I saw your Facebook ad again. I saw your remarketing ad. How much do you guys have to pay for that? I'm seeing them everywhere. Oh my God.
I literally had this conversation with a wonderful man named Philip who's across the pond, and he commented about the same thing. He's like, you guys are remarketing. He was talking about it, and you're exactly right. If there's a dollar for dollar impact that the remarketing has made, you know, our Google Ads has made for us, you know, there's search. It's not a dollar.
It's not bang per dollar. It's bang per cent that you spend
per penny. Yeah.
Yeah. The amount of
true. Yeah.
Being on people's minds we get for the amount of money we spend. I mean, I try to spend it, but every month Chris is like, dude, I will walk away from this. If you show me a number that's more than two digits, that's more than I can count, more than 10, I will walk away. I can't stomach spending that money. So we keep it pretty low, and it works.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, that's true. Well, that's not about visuals from websites, so we won't get too much on that. But keep in mind your video, your quick little 30-second video, 2-minute video can be used in multiple ways. Remarketing is a whole nother avenue. But let's talk about local businesses, visualization for local businesses. And one thing that I talk about a lot, you talk about, a lot of moving companies who have very localized services. You know, I talk about companies, you know, plumbing companies, residential services, home services, things like that. If you have a company that services a specific area, that has a local area, we will drive this far out, or, you know, we deliver to this area, or, you know, we something within this radius or this county, a visual representation of that is so good. If you take a screenshot of Google Maps and then just color in with a crayon, you know, like get paint out, you know, get Windows paint, if that still exists, and just color in the area that you deal with, you immediately can eliminate half the calls. You're like, do you guys service our area? You know, like that's going to immediately increase your call rate, your conversion rate, because now people immediately know, oh, okay, yeah, they deliver to me. Oh, yeah, they service this area. Yes, you know, it's that visual representation, that answering the core questions. Am I in the right place? Do they do what I want? And how much is it? Like, that's what people want to know. And that immediately answers, you know, two of the important things is, do they do what I want? Do they come to my area? And, you know, the rest about, you know, how much is it? That's a different conversation. But that map, that imagery is crazy important.
You know, Chris, there's so many metros in this country that are huge. And there's so many times you hear from clients and then you experience it in your own life. Like, yeah, we work in this metro, but then there's people in the metro who are wondering like, yeah, but do you service this exurb or this suburb that if I was on a trip to Asia and someone asked me where I'm from, I would say I'm from St. Louis, America, St. Louis, Missouri, America. But if someone asked me in St. Louis, where I was from at a conference in St. Louis, I would say, oh, I live in whatever the suburb is. So there's a lot of like, oh, but does the business work there? You can put people's minds at ease that you do business in those different parts of the metro or different parts of the state. I really like seeing Google maps embeds on websites, Chris, where you actually embed your location. I think there's a couple reasons why. One is you get some reputational boost, I think, in people's minds. Google, very reputable, very known, huge business, great business. And people are, they know Google Maps. They know it works. There's just a good feeling about Google Maps. So if you have that kind of actual embedded map on your site showing people where you are, not only for functionality, like if people are on their phone, they can click get directions here and all that kind of stuff, but just the good feeling people get, like the reassuring feeling people get. I get it myself. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't know anything about this business. Don't know if they're shady criminals or not, but I see a Google map on there. I feel good about them. It just happens in my brain because it's that familiar thing. So I think the familiarness of the Google Maps thing really helps just from a feeling perspective. So I like seeing those embedded maps when they're a good fit for your business. If you're a national business, not really a point to do that. But if you're a local business, I recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're national, I think this could all be summed up by, you know, same way that you and I do it, you know, just basically saying serving clients in the U.S.
worldwide, serving the number one country.
Yeah.
You don't have to say USA. It's just known serve the number one country. The things that have happened in the last like few weeks, there must be people in Switzerland that listen to the show, Sweden, Denmark.
Yeah, sure.
That listen to me and they're like, number one. What do you talk about? What do you talk about? I watch news. What do you talk about? How could that be number one? I like Switzerland. I like Sweden. I like Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
But just trust me, it's number one. It's always number one. It's always going to be number one.
In everything.
And if we have number a couple one in rocky months, like, it's still number one.
Obesity? Number one in obesity? Number one. Number one. It's number one in everything.
No, I was just thinking, like, there must be people who love their life in Sweden, Denmark.
Right.
And then they must be like, Switzerland. They must be, why does he say number one? What is number one? I like my life here.
That's a Switzerland accent, but.
Okay, then you give me one.
You're good.
And you give me one.
Then no,
you give
me one. I didn't say I could do one. No, I'm horrible.
Here's how accents go. There's American.
Uh-huh. And then there's not.
And then there's this. There's this. Okay.
This is not there's, American.
There's America, not number American. One. We all agree. And then there's number two. Number one, number two. So if you're in Switzerland, if you're in Denmark, and you're like, it's pretty good around here. It's not like it's on. Hey, don't doubt us. Don't you ever doubt us. We're number one. You all know it. And it's going to stay that way. And we'll be fine.
If there's anything I like about Jason, it's his logo. Jason, you have a very nice logo. So I know, again, that you put your money where your mouth is. I think I spend about half as much on my logo, not nearly as creative. My graphic designer was very minimalistic. And I know that logos is important. So tell me about logos. What do you – I mean,
tell me about
I
don't logo. See – Tell me why number one. You know, say reasons. Okay.
You said that was it.
All right, so Chris, logos on the site. What I don't like is seeing three Google ads, they all have the keywords of the ad, of the keyword mm-hmm. in the ad, right? And they all think they're cooler than everyone else because they know how to use the keyword in the ad. And then you go to their websites, and it's like all of them are – they're using a lot of the keywords on their website. And got a lot of content about the keywords and the topics, and they all think they're going to get great quality scores because they have so much beefy content, and they actually forgot about all the visual stuff. Well, then they all look the same. So what I really like is a good logo, good branding. The reason why I'm saying logos when it comes to making your website, taking the time to invest in getting a good logo made, is because the logos can be repurposed and they can kind of be the guide for the design everywhere. The websites, the social media, and then in this case, when it comes to Google Ads, the remarketing ads. If someone sees our remarketing ad, I'm running remarketing ads for us right now, Chris, with your and mine faces, massive.
Right.
Because we're the faces of the show.
I've seen them.
Yeah. And what I can't stand with remarketing is when people run remarketing and they don't talk about their business. You get all that opportunity to get on top of people's mind, get in front of them. And then it just talked about the service that you do in, right, in the ad, or had some dumb image. No, it's got to be building a brand in their mind. It's got to be reminding them of you. So that's a great place where you can use your logo and pictures of your businesses and remarketing ads. So when it comes to, should I invest in a logo or not, do it, because then you can blow up your remarketing ads with a ton of logo images, and people will not just see a remarketing ad, maybe know who it is or not. They see a remarketing ad, and as soon as the first pixel of the color catches the side of their eye, they're going to go, God, there they are again. This must be a great business. There they are again. So the logo can help that with remarketing.
If you guys aren't catching it, what we're saying is remarketing, logo, images, videos, all those kind of things, the value that you get from this imagery in remarketing and on your website isn't necessarily going to be something that might happen from a click on your remarketing ad. Just getting that image in front of someone, you know, just like Jason's talking about our faces, you know, showing our faces reminds people, oh, I know that guy, you know, that guy is my friend. I know, you know, I recognize them. Oh, you know, I'm a fan, you know, I'm a fan.
Right. So then what happens
is, what it's all about.
Are they going to click on the ad? Probably not at that point.
No.
Are they going to download our episode? Probably not at that point. Are they going to sign up for Patreon? Probably not. But we keep doing the remarketing ads, and 2 months later, when they have a really tough Google Ads problem and none of the people in their office, they all hate their boss, are able to answer their question, they're going to go, oh man, who can answer my question? And then they're going to have it top of mind, and they're going to think, oh yeah, the Patreon has a Facebook group. PSP has a Facebook group of a bunch of professionals. I can ask them on there. That's worth signing up for Patreon and paying for Jason's moat around his 150 acre property. And I'm going to give them that $2 a month. So that's how our business remarketing works. But in other businesses, it's just, it helps you be there, and the logo can help you do that.
Yeah, the moat. Only if you don't know what Jason's talking about, unless you're a true fan, you've been around for a while. I remember the moat days. Those were good days. All right, so service page images. Okay, I would say that this applies to most people, but you know, most of the time it has to do with people that provide a professional service, you know, some type of service, and there's different sections of the service that they provide. You're a lawyer, you have different professional services within that lawyerism. You do roof repair, you have specific things within roof repair that you do. So this is more difficult, I think, than we're giving it credit for, the images at the specific service. Because Jason, how would you say someone could represent, you know, a lawyer service,
a concerned grandparent with concerned grandparents fighting for grandparents' rights? Like, what grandparent in real life that had a horrible problem with their adult children fighting for custody over the grandchildren? Why would they want to be on the internet? I agree with you. So this is one space where I was just bashing template images. Go with the stock image.
Yeah, stock image kind of image.
I think it's okay on a situation like that. But commercial roof repair, that is a service page image you would need images for. I'd recommend that you don't have to do stock images for, because you can show off examples of your work on commercial properties.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yes, not every single niche or service, like an attorney who has a grandparents' rights page, they're probably not going to be able to show real grandparents on there. You use a stock image there. It's fine. But if you don't have to, don't. And you shouldn't for something like commercial roof repair. You can show off examples of your commercial roof repair work or commercial roofing.
Yeah. Okay. Before we move into our last section, I want to remind you guys, if you have not yet, go check out opto.com/PSP2. You get an 8-week free trial to try out this tool. There's nothing I can guarantee. You know, you're not going to get a 50% boost in conversions. I can't guarantee that. You might, you may. You may get, you know, half the CPC cost per click than you had before. But here's what I can guarantee. You're going to get things done faster than you did before, because the tool is designed to compress and compact all of these things into a nice step-by-step guide. Everything's accessible in one area. colors and graphs and buttons and checkboxes and switches. It's designed to get things done faster. So I know people are out there wanting to get things done faster. That's what everybody's about. Microwave, cook it for me now. I want it now. This is the tool to get more done quickly, especially you guys that are at the, you know, trying to launch your own thing out there, you know, agencies that are listening. It's a great tool for your employees. So OPTEO.com/PSP2, and you can try it out for free.
Thanks, Chris. And we're talking a lot about roofing, talking a lot about local businesses running ads on Google. So if you're running Google ads for a local business, or if you have clients and you're running Google ads for many local businesses, then we encourage you to check out EliteLocalAds.com. Elite Local Ads is a comprehensive training program put together by friend of the show, Kyle Solrud, designed to help you get more customers for any local business using Google Ads. The program includes 8 complete training modules covering everything from keywords to ads to advanced campaign optimization, retargeting, and more. It's not an inexpensive training program. However, the value is off the charts, and there's even a 30-day refund policy if you're at all worried about the investment. Kyle says with over 150 students, he's only ever had one person request a refund. You can see more for yourself at EliteLocalAds.com, including several testimonials from people who've been through the program already. Again, that's for anyone who is running Google Ads for local businesses. Check out EliteLocalAds.com and enroll today. So Chris, we were just to finish up the service page images. The reason I say that is because I see a breakdown a lot. People have great service page content, and that service page content, like commercial roofing, it would go great within a keyword and an ad for someone doing a search, commercial roofers. The problem is these businesses have great homepages, videos of real people doing roofing at their company, their logo, the branding, all that kind of stuff. It's all on the homepage, but then the actual page that focuses on commercial roofing and would be a better fit, it's usually like a blog style page, just a lot of text. You're not going to
do that. If you're a business, we can fix your roof. Yeah. Like super bland. Yeah.
Well, even if they have a ton of text, it's like in paragraph style describing the service. And that's not something that really lends itself to being juiced up, doing a Google search, all the adrenaline. I'm going to find it right now. And then seeing a bunch of paragraph, remembering you never learned how to read, not being able to read all those paragraphs, and then bouncing back to Google. So that's why I'm so strong on getting service specific images for the service pages, because it just very quickly cues people, oh, I can't read, but I know I'm in the right place. The one thing is you don't want that image to be so big that that's all people see. You want some kind of text for them to see to also draw them in. So just very quickly, Chris, social proof, the more testimonials, the better. Video testimonials are awesome. Associations you're part of to show you're a real business, the badges, all that kind of stuff. And then achievements that your company has achieved, local people that you work with, maybe nonprofits, if you support them, seeing those on the site is great. And then past work examples. To me, this is the biggest one, especially for like local business service companies. If you got the proof, give them the pudding. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Come on, man. Come on. I'll fight you, Chris. You know what I'm saying? Past work examples, okay? Proof is in the pudding. If you have those images, fill up your site with those images. It's social proof. It'll show people you actually have done the work for other people, and you can do the work for them too. So, Chris, we did it. We did visual.
That's it.
And
we've not easy. Got some good stuff still.
These dang websites are not easy, Chris. We still have content, and then we have a lot of miscellaneous topics. And you know, I said they overcharge by 10. Maybe they just overcharge by 9, because this is a really hard thing to put together.
It is a lot.
Not easy.
It is a lot to think about. That's right. What we don't see is the 15 gazillion revisions where they're like, hey, can you make that button sparkle? When they click that, can you make a little fairy kind of pop out, and then it goes to the website? You know, all the silly things they have to deal with. So maybe, Yeah, maybe just.
If I had to deal with those, I would stress eat Cheetos as well. Like I've done a few landing pages, helped people with a few websites. Oh man, what a horrible.
Oh yeah,
horrible nightmare. I did too.
I started off doing when I first started my business. I was like, yeah, I'll do your website, and I will do Google Ads for you. And you know which one survived? Google Ads. I don't do websites anymore. So yeah, but all right, guys. Well, we. Have to now usher out our non-paying subscribers and go into our VIP room and speak into our very exclusive lounge. If you would like to join us, we have a Patreon, paidsearchpodcast.com. Click the link and you can join us there. $2 a month. Yeah, probably worth it. You get a Facebook group. You get access to private conversations between Jason and I and all of our appreciation. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.